Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Welcome back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, our nation's national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, the Star Spangled Banner. Wasn't that great? I could have started talking and Kevin would have pulled it down and we could have gone out, you know, started with the show. But I'll tell you, I just love that song. It gives me a stir, especially at the flourish. I love that part. I know you do too. And somebody else, I bet, who likes that part is our good friend Ken Davis. Ken C. Davis is with us again. He's one of the resident historians in our Brain Trust. He's the author of so many books on history that he's just become a great a treasure, and one of our national treasures, because he's had produced so many important works for us in plain English, is what I like about it, including his original Don't Know Much About History and his new one, A Nation Rising. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, and happy Independence Day to us all, and happy birthday, America. And I do love that song very well. In fact, I posted a blog and a video blog about going down to Fort McHenry.
Wow.
A couple of months ago, and if folks are interested, you can go to don'tknowmuch.com and find my post about, this is just a little bit of the history of the writing of the anthem and some interesting stuff behind it. It is, not to be disrespectful here, it is in fact based on an old English drinking song, however.
That is aren't they all?
The Anacreontic song, which was sung at the Crown and Anchor Tavern in the Strand back in London in the 1700s.
It doesn't bother me at all. Isn't all music founded in some kind of a drinking song? But you know, the reason I like to play it, and I know even it's our national anthem, and we on the 4th of July we talk about the founders, and this was written, you know, a couple of generations after that, but without what was happening, without what Francis Scott Key saw, and the result of that war, all the work that the founders did 30 years earlier would have gone for naught, maybe. What do you think?
Well, I, to be honest about when it comes to the War of 1812, it falls into the yes and no category for me. It is one of the less, there are a lot of unnecessary wars in our history, and this may have been one of the least necessary.
Right.
It was fought by two unwilling and unready belligerents, and fortunately, you know, ended up pretty much in a stalemate. Unfortunately, there were great costs as well. And I write about the War of 1812 a little bit in the new book, A Nation Rising, because there were other wars going on in the midst of the War of 1812, which we never heard about. So
all of that
hidden history comes to us. But
talk to us a little bit about some of the things that we might not know about our founders. For example, in your book, you talk about why Jada Adams thought we would celebrate Independence Day on the 2nd of July.
Well, this is a great one because he wrote these wonderful letters back to Abigail in Boston.
Isn't that a great part of our literary heritage? I mean, those letters.
you can read those letters, and they are wonderful. Nobody could say these are stuffy old dead white guys when they read John Adams writing to Abigail. And she was an extraordinary woman in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Not a formally educated person, but such native intelligence, mm-hmm. and so passionate about her husband's cause. It was her own as well. And she was just an extraordinary woman.
And she had to balance those passions, the same passions that her husband had, which she had in full measure, from what I can tell. She had to balance that with raising and keeping the family safe and intact.
Absolutely.
He didn't have to worry about that.
That's true. When he was off in Philadelphia already, for instance.
Or in France, April or England, or wherever.
Well, he was specifically in 1775 when Lexington and Concord happened,
right.
and Boston is on the verge of full war between and this is a year before independence, of course. She was sending him reports back, mm-hmm. of how terrible things were, and then it is she who writes to John Adams about the death of their very good friend and colleague and fellow patriot, Dr. Joseph Warren,
right.
Who's,
his doctor.
One of those forgotten founders I write about in America's Hidden History, a real extraordinary character who was most responsible for sending Paul Revere out on that famous midnight ride.
Right.
But these are the stories of real people that remind us that history isn't about dates and battles.
When I think of the founders, Ken, I don't just think of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. I think of the regular folks, the shopkeepers, the farmers, the young people who gave their lives and certainly put themselves at great risk just for an idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Those were our founders, and we stand on their shoulders, Ken.
There have been some wonderful books written in the last few years that really do talk about the revolution more from the blue-collar perspective, because you're absolutely right. Those 15 or 20,000 people who ended up in Cambridge, Massachusetts after the battles of Lexington and Concord, they were the farmers, they were the sailors. Some of them, without question, were just kids who decided this is a bit of a lark, and they certainly got it more than they bargained for. A lot of unemployed people at the time, a lot of people who were angry that the British soldiers and the mercenaries who were
right.
coming in were actually taking their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an economic component to it as well. But these were what in those days they called them mechanics, not in the sense of a guy who fixed your car,
right.
but people who did
right.
everyday work were the mechanics, and that's who
right.
Paul Revere represented, the mechanics.
Absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Ken. Kenneth C. Davis is our guest, folks. His new book is called A Nation Rising. Another one, the one just before this, America's Hidden History. Whatever Ken does is top shelf, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Independence Day, 20 after. We'll be right back.
Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we going out tonight.
Welcome back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, but we're talking, the closest we're getting to small business today as we celebrate our Independence Day here in America is the idea that without our independence, without what the guys did 234 or so years ago, you and I wouldn't have the ability to be who we are today and what we do, what we do. I believe that with liberty, with the Declaration of Independence, and the ability to pursue happiness, to pursue life and liberty, as the Declaration calls for, I believe you and I think entrepreneurship was born at that time. Ken Davis, what do you think? Ken Davis, folks, is our guest. He's the author of A Nation Rising, also America's Hidden History, and all the other books, Don't Know Much About History, et cetera, et cetera. Ken, what do you think about that? I think with the birth of liberty in America was also the birth of modern entrepreneurship.
Oh, in many ways it absolutely was, and I'd like to come back to that, but I forgot, we got distracted, and I didn't really answer your other question about John Adams and the 2nd July.
Oh, yeah.
He
That's
wrote
right.
back to Abigail. That America would celebrate the 2nd of July with bonfires and church bells and illuminations and even fireworks, because Congress actually voted in favor of a resolution of independence.
To get somebody to write it, right?
On July 2nd. And Jefferson was already working on the Declaration by that point. He actually turned it into Congress on the 1st. and they debated it for the next 2 days. But Adams was quite convinced that July 2nd would be the day that would go down in history, but it's the declaration, mm-hmm. the explanation for that vote 2 days before that really captured the imagination.
He was so captivated by the document, he probably didn't think there'd be that much discussion over it.
Well, he, first of all, he was very reluctant to be there. He didn't think it was such an important document. He was much more interested in being back in Virginia, where they were writing a state constitution.
You mean Jefferson was?
Jefferson,
yeah.
And he thought that was a much more important thing to be working
right.
on.
Right.
But nonetheless, he remained in Philadelphia and worked with the Committee of Five, which was John Adams, mm-hmm. and Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, and John Dickinson of New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Who was a very well-known and successful writer in his own right, also
right.
one of the wealthiest men in America. But to your point about entrepreneurship, Jefferson changes a phrase that was very widely used at the time, and it was life, liberty, and the pursuit of property.
Right.
Because so many of the people who came to America were people who came in search of a piece of property,
mm-hmm.
a chance for themselves, because, of course, in Europe, most of the land was either owned by the state or the church.
Right.
Very few people had a chance to obtain property for themselves or for their children. So that was a really driving force.
Which became...
But Jefferson wanted to make it bigger than that, you know, not mm-hmm. just about property and not just about ownership of something. He was trying to get at something bigger in a philosophical sense, maybe out of this 18th century idea of the Enlightenment, about people becoming complete people, and that's the happiness. He's not just talking
yeah.
about happiness of, you know, getting what you want, what you think you need, but happiness in a
that was his way. Metaphor. That became really a metaphor for the American dream, didn't it?
I think it is. I think that's what we do when we talk about the pursuit of happiness. Look, we all know we have to work hard, and happiness comes hard. But Jefferson was talking about the freedom to be able to pursue that, which, of course, people in Europe did not have, because most of them were beholden to either the crown or the church.
But knowing what a wordsmith Jefferson was, and knowing how, I mean, I believe, and I think you do too, Ken, that he labored over every word and smithed it to his what he thought was perfection. But the fact that he said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh,
see, to
no
me,
guarantee.
That's you can't have this idea of entrepreneurship if there's a right to life and liberty and happiness. You can't. Entrepreneurship is not about happiness. Entrepreneurship is about the pursuit and the ability to fail and to succeed.
Absolutely. And then you see in the long list, of course, of the long laundry list of charges against the king that he then included, many of them have to do with much more sort of commercial interests.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that we like to say it was about taxes. It wasn't really so much about a tax with the T, for instance, as it was about a monopoly. That
right.
the king had decreed that one company could sell all the tea, and that was the real
right.
Sticking point.
That came with the Tea Act.
That's correct. It gave the
mm-hmm.
it gave an exclusive monopoly to the British East Indies,
which
company.
Created the original Tea Party.
And that
right.
was that was the cause for the original Tea Party. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was never about the tea, folks. It was always about liberty. Ken, I got 1 minute left. What is something that we don't know about the founders that we need to know?
Well, you know, I just, the New York Public Library has a draft of Jefferson's version of the Declaration. He actually, his original draft was lost, but what he 2 days later, because he was unhappy that Congress had changed so much, he wrote it, he rewrote it, and I recently saw that copy on display. And one of the most interesting things, and this is also about liberty, he wanted to get rid of slavery, there's no question. Even though he was a man dependent on slavery, he wanted to get rid of it. He wrote about
mm-hmm.
slavery in his draft. Congress took it out. He said that was in the deference to the men who owned slaves, as
mm-hmm.
well as those who were making a good deal of money transporting them.
Yeah.
And that's just a reminder that these men were giants, but they were also human. They had flaws. They had contradictions.
And they had conflicts too.
And they had conflicts,
yeah.
but they understood them, and they knew.
And they debated them. Hey Ken, give us the website quickly.
Don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe. And
Ken, thanks for being here.
See more about this Declaration stuff there.
Happy Independence Day, Ken.
Th- Same to you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Going to be right back after these messages, 29 after. God bless America.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.